So, advice to students. And here you can hand out advice in many areas. As a lawyer, the oil and gas business, government service. Students listening to this, what do you have for them?
Well, I had a couple of things. One was, if you're a young person with no money and no family, really basically no important family, you need to go to a place with some real growth potential. And Tulsa was that place. I don't know whether it is today to the extent it was in 1960. Tulsa was still pretty much on the cusp of the oil boom and all that kind of business. I don't know whether Tulsa is, but it certainly was then. Oklahoma was growing. So you want to go to a place with an expanding pie, I think. And I think you also want to go to a place where you don't have 10 generations of families.
When you say go to a place,
I'm saying when you get out of school. When you get out of school, go to a place that's open and free. And you know what I found with Boston? Boston's a wonderful town. It's got everything that you want. Sailing and pro football. Boston had layers upon layers upon layers. I mean, you had the Cabots and the Lodges and the next generation and the next generation and then the Italians and then the Irish. I mean, for a person to go in there, it was like getting in the bottom of a 20-layer cake. Whereas in Oklahoma, everything was, you know, in Tulsa, very democratic. Nobody went back any further than my grandfathers. My two grandfathers came in about 1911. Before that, it was Indians. I think going to a place that's open and free, California is a classic example of that. All my friends that went to Stanford, they made money quite easily because California was, particularly during the years from, say, 60 to 90, it was such a wide open place. That's one thing. The other thing is there's a real advantage, I think, to going small rather than large. It depends a little bit on how able you are, but it's the big frog in the little puddle. I used to tell my law students, particularly the ones that weren't absolutely law review type, because the law review guy can immediately go out and get a job, actually in Dallas if he wants to, Tulsa, Dallas, Oklahoma City. But if you're sort of in the middle of the class, give some consideration to going back to your hometown. Go back to some place like Muskogee, run for county attorney, and you'll get elected eventually because they need one, and run for the state senate, go buy some land, raise some cows, get on the bank board, and so forth. That life is a pretty good life, and a lot of these guys have done quite well by going small rather than going big if they can talk their wife into it, and that's usually the problem. Usually she has no interest in being that far from Utica Square, you know. That's the problem. The other thing I would say is that people are the most important thing, and never miss a chance to make a friend. You know, that means doing things for people where you don't expect any immediate payback. Because, you know, it's a long life, and there's no reason to make an enemy if you can make a friend. I mean, like my government position, the political connection meant absolutely nothing. But this friend of mine was a Tulsa Central guy who knew me and was a good friend. Basically called me up and set me up with this guy, and it really changed my life. It cost me a lot of money because it wasn't a particularly lucrative thing to go to Washington, but it totally changed my life, and it was a good friend that did that.
His name?
His name was Arch Edwards. He was a wonderful student. He was another one of these four and four. He took the Princeton scholarship. Actually, he got scholarships to Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and Tulane. But anyway, he went up to Princeton, and he was a Phi Beta Kappa at Princeton, and then he went up to the Harvard Business School, and he was a Baker Scholar. Baker Scholar is the top. And then he went to work for McKinsey & Company, which, if you're a business school guy, that's sort of the highest level. He had tried to recruit me for McKinsey & Company one time, and I had said I wasn't interested in business consulting. So friends are really important. I mean, they really are. And in order to have a friend, you have to be a friend. That means you have to do things for people just because you like them. Mm-hmm. And if nothing ever comes of it, fine. It's just the way it is. I've got a lot of people that I've tried to do things for that they may not even know you exist. But anyway, that's one. And then the other thing, is, of course, is when you get old, your family is so much more important, you know. When you get to be 75 and you go to the class reunion, everyone's asking you how many grandchildren you have. At the 15th reunion, they're all asking you if you're a partner and how many second homes you have. I went to my 50th Stanford reunion. It was sort of a sad thing. I don't know whether I'll ever do it again because there are a handful of people who are in pretty fair shape. But then there are a handful of people who are just basket cases. So I think that may be the last reunion I go to. It was just too sad.
To see what old age has done.
Oh, yeah. You'd have a friend who was really sharp, and you'd talk to him, and you realize that there's nothing there. people begin to deteriorate mentally, probably at age 70. And this one friend that I just mentioned, who was one of the more brilliant people that I've ever done business with, he now has Alzheimer's. He can't get out of the house.
But one can be 75 and look how you are. Yeah. You're fortunate, you're blessed to
so far
have it all with you.